I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tigers defeat the Sharkies 32-6.
Yeah, baby.
Wowee. What a fantastic win for the Tigers. Exactly. And look, also, first ever part-time head coach to get a win in first grade. So
trailblazer.
Yeah, he is a trailblazer. And maybe other coaches, they'll be going part-time now, heading forward.
Wouldn't blame him. Proof's in the pudding.
Yeah. Maybe. Or maybe it's the other way. Maybe he hasn't seen his family in 2 weeks, and that's how they got the win. Either way, we need to know the answers to those questions.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get straight into it, shall we? Tigers defeat the Sharkies 32-6. What an incredible win for the Tigers. And look, they've had big wins before during the season. That has happened before. The really important part of this is you got a Sharkies side that had started the year really well. It is in round three, but it's also just your second game because they'd buy first one, so you've only lost a round. Yep. And so, like, if you have these wins in the middle of the year, it's sometimes hard to take a lot out of them because you've got so much baggage from the first 12 rounds or so. The good thing for the Tigers is you've banged this big win in round two. So that confidence heading into that, at least the next four or five games, even if you struggle, you know, next one or two, you'll still be able to fall back on what worked for you in this game.
A tone-setting win.
It set the tone.
Yeah.
It set the tone.
Yep.
Now, let's get into the actual game. I thought Stefano had one of his better games in a long time. I am still kind of on the fence. I still would probably bring him off the bench, not because he isn't their best front rower, just because I think he would bring a lot of impact. But
and that's why you had him on the bench for Team of the Week as well.
Yeah.
Just to hammer that message home.
Just to propaganda, pretty much.
Yeah.
Just to push my point across to
Kim Jong Kemp over there with the propaganda off the top.
But let's talk about the biggest story out of all this. It's not Appy Coruscant, even though that was a big story. It's Lachie Galvin.
Mm.
18 years old. We spoke about it last week, but even in this game, if you said, okay, I'll give you $1,000 if you can guess which player is in his second game of NRL, I reckon 9 out of 10 footy fans would not guess Galvin. Like, yeah. I reckon there'd be plenty of other players they'd go through. His confidence, and I spoke about it last week against the Raiders, but he's not scarred by the last 5 years of the Tigers. In his head, he's going, like, okay, so growing up playing footy, he probably won most of the games he played in.
Yep.
In a key position, a gun player. So in his head, he's like, I can win matches. Even if it is the NRL, he's subconsciously always thinking, I can win this match. Like, I've done it my whole life. That's what I do. I win matches. Whereas sometimes when you're a part of a squad for a few years, it's been absolutely peppered, won the spoon. In your head, when the game is in that balance, you say, oh, been here before.
Mm.
I know exactly how this ends.
Yep.
He's not thinking, I know how this ends. Matter of fact, he is thinking, I know how this ends. It's, I usually win these games.
Yep.
And you're seeing that with the way he plays. He's always on the ball. He's always trying to make things happen. His defense, this is, I think, the second week in a row with zero misses. I'm pretty sure.
22, like, zero missed.
22. And that's 22 tackles at three defender.
Yep.
For an 18-year-old. Lachie Galvin, for me, at the moment, has been the breakout guy like the rookie so far this year. I know it's just two games, but he's been a revelation so far.
Yeah, absolute gun. And you're spot on about the whole doesn't have the baggage of losing games. He's had a lot of success as a junior player. It's all about if you've got it, you bring an attitude to a team. Mm. Is your attitude worth catching? You know,
Like Gastro.
Correct. Well, we had a guy out there with Gastro as well, so there was stuff to catch everywhere you looked. But no, he's looking good. Lockie Galvin looks right at home and very excited for the year he's got ahead. But he's looked hasn't missed a beat so far.
I'll tell you a little story about Galvin. I'm just showing Kempy the tape now. He's in the schoolboys grand final last year, and there's a draw and pass. He gets the ball. He's about to score under the sticks, and he actually celebrates a little bit too early behind the crossbar, and he actually gets the ball knocked out of his hands in the last play, which at the time looked like it was going to cost his team the grand final in that moment. He actually got hooked after that. They ended up going on to win the game anyway. But that was
he
only
got hooked.
Yeah, they I believe they took him from the field off the back of that. It was in like the last minute or so. Like it looked like it had cost them the grand final
but like
in that
the
moment.
The spite to hook him. That's pretty spiteful. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah. But that wasn't that long ago.
Mm.
Like that would rattle the living shit out of me for eternity. For him to then within a few months be in first grade and not only just holding his own in first grade, like he's proper competing.
Yeah.
He and the energy he comes into the game with is incredible. I said it last week and I think I was going to say it every week for the next 10 years by the looks of it. He's Michael Morgan all over to me.
I love his energy. Mm. Every time, you know, there's a set, again, like a lot, not a lot, but often body language gets lost in the sea of all the things you've got to be a really good footy player. Oh, you need a good kicking game, you need a good passing game, you need a good defence, and that is true. But I tell you what, body language goes a long way when you're in the halves. If you're a half that's always on the ball, for example, I think Cam Munster's a really good example of this. Like, the amount of times when Cam Munster gets the ball, he is trying to score a try every time he gets the ball. Very rarely do you see Munster just go, doesn't really look like there's much on here. I'm just going to take the tackle. And Lockie Galvin reminds me of that where every time he gets the ball, he's trying to score points. Or at the very least, he's trying to make a play that could eventually lead to points. And that's infectious. Like it's genuinely, when you watch your six, a young half, you know, shouldn't really be as confident as he is, but he is. It's very hard as a senior player to go, oh, I'm not going to get on the back of that. Because then who looks like the mug? It's the senior player that's not ripping and tearing.
Mm.
It's just so good to see. So good to see. What do you reckon, Amy?
Yeah.
Sorry,
44 tackles, no miss so far in his career.
Wow. Not a bad start.
22-0 in both games.
22 and zip. Missed a consistency. No, I love him. He's just, he's been so rare to have someone to be really excited about coming through. We haven't had that for a little while at the club, but he's looking amazing. Really like the way that he combined with Caesar this week as well. I think we looked a lot more balanced with Caesar starting at number seven. Did a great job, kicked him to death, you know. We just had a lot of composure there at the end of the sets as well. But I think that six and seven combo for me, that's the one going forward definitely for the next couple of weeks, you have to say.
Oh, I mean, I'd be locking that combination in at least for maybe even the first 10 rounds.
Yep.
Like something would have to go seriously wrong to change it, I think.
Yeah, because like, you know, Bud, he's got plenty of potential, great attacking player, but it's all about combinations.
Yep.
And what player partners Galvin the best? It's Caesar, who is a very steady,
mm-hmm.
easy, like he's going to do all the little tiny things of just steady getting the boys around the park, the really good kicking, keeping the boys calm when they need to be calmed, which opens up Galvin. Like, basically, Galvin, mate, your job is to get us points. It is to create moments. Whereas if you have Sullivan and Galvin, yes, they both offer a lot in attack, but they're not similar players in the way they play, but they're similar in the sense that they both of their job is to create attacking opportunities. Whereas with Caesar, it's like, no, my job is purely just to lay a foundation for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a better balance with Lockie.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's just ticking so many boxes. You mentioned Aiden Caesar there too, mate. It's control.
Mm.
It's just, you know, rugby league can be such a complicated game at times. When you've got a halfback that can just simplify things, get you the right spots and kick well, God, it can make a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge difference.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You underappreciated it. You underappreciate it until you see it.
Yeah.
And you compare it to sides that don't have it, and it means the world.
Yeah. And like a lot of like when Caesar got signed, there were, and look, it's a long season. We'll see how they go. But there was a lot of, I guess, negative talk about Sears getting signed, but he's exactly probably what you need right now. He's just a good, calm head that's going to kick well and do his job. Now, the next guy, Appy Korosau. So this typifies what he's just so good at. He runs he off the tap. There's an offload to Appy. So he stays alive. He gets an offload. He gets a quick play of the ball. So there's one run. Then the next run, he then creates space by like a really good dummy drop-off. So he fully stops in his tracks, dummy drop-off, creates space for the outside men. Then he once again, the next play, so then he gets in dummy half. The next play does that, looks out the back, hits short. That was all Appy that created that whole set, getting everyone exactly to where they needed to be for a try. And like that is the brilliance of Appy Korosau, orchestrating pretty much all on his back. Like the 6 and 7 could almost literally just put their hands behind their back and just go, I'm just going to wait this whole set. That's how much of in control Appy Korosau was in that set. He is just, there's an argument to be made he's one of the better attacking nines that we've seen at least in this generation.
Oh, it's not an argument, he is. He's like, when you think about what he's done over the last few years, mate, like it really is incredible. Mm. He is, and fuck, isn't it? Is it one of the great sliding doors moments of all time, Manly, letting him go?
Crazy.
When you look at how it all played out.
I think he nearly agrees to Dogs.
Yep.
Everyone thinks he's signed. I even put a post up thinking he signed. And then like within 24 hours, no, he signed with Panthers. What a change. Like, do Penrith do what they do without him there?
I don't think so. And I know it's easy to say now that Mitch Kenny's doing really well, but Mitch Kenny wasn't ready 2 years ago to do what he's doing now.
And Mitch Kenny is built off a foundation that has been laid before him, you know? Yep.
So, I don't think Penrith could have done what they've done. Scary to think what Manly could have done. Like, with all due respect to Lachie Croker, who's done a great job there, put Appy in that side.
Yeah, look, you understand where, I guess, Manly were coming from. That 100%, great Fainu coming through and all that drama that happened. But, yeah, it is a decision that was made that turned out to be the incorrect one.
Yeah, and, like, you think about, like, I don't remember when Appy did, when he signed with Canterbury, then ended up at Penrith. I don't remember 15 clubs chasing Appy.
No, not at all. Not at all. He got basically told he can leave by Manly.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, yeah. And also at the time, Panthers weren't even a top eight side, I don't think. Or if at the very least, they were fringe eight side. So it's not like he was going to this like dominant side. He was going to a side that was desperate for hooker and hadn't had a hooker in a very long time. Like a genuine out-and-out hooker.
Well, what year did he arrive at the Panthers? 18, 19? Is that?
I think 19.
19?
I think. Surely not 20. Because that would be too lining up too quickly.
Mm. No, I think he was there 19.
20?
20.
Oh, was it really?
Far out. That's actually hectic.
Wow.
That is hectic. But yeah, what an incredible display of just talent, attacking talent by Appy Korosau. Another guy we want to talk about. When they signed Olam, we said exactly what he did. As an outside back, when they need someone to take a tough, strong, straight carry to straighten their sets up and just get the boys going, he did exactly that. Like, I know he ended up having the flat, you know, the try or whatever, but his job was genuinely G the boys up with tough carries out of his own end. And he nailed it. Like, it's one thing to say that's what he's purchased for. It's another thing for him to fulfill that immediately. Sometimes it takes half a season for him to find his feet. He did exactly, you know, what it says on the box. Like straight away.
Yep.
Really good game by Olam.
Yep.
And you just love the energy this guy brings. Like he's just, imagine, you know, getting the ball out of the back of shape when you just know he's coming for you. Mm. It'd be terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, even defensively in attack, like, oh shit. Like you see him standing there waiting for a carry as a forward, you're going, oh man, this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt.
Yep. He was great. 177 run meters, 16 runs. Two line breaks, four tackle breaks. Lived up to the name. You said it. You nailed it all on the head there with the does what he says on the tin, the big wrecking ball. We've lacked a little bit of punch out there in the back line and perfect debut for the club.
He, you say 177 run metres?
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember him at Melbourne doing like crazy metres down there. It'd be interesting to see. And Matty, can you have a look at his run metres when he was at the Storm? I don't remember it being those sort of wild numbers. So I'm keen to see if Benji can get that out of him week to week.
Yeah, well, the thing is,
he's got the ability to.
And also,
do it.
They need him to.
Yep.
Because they don't really have meter readers at this stage. Like, Junior Tupou can be that, but he hasn't really been as good as it lately. Yeah, he was absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Who else stood out for you boys from? I think Fainu off the bench.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
He's been bloody good off the bench. It's the second game in a row he's come on and done some pretty special stuff.
Yeah, 47 minutes.
Yeah. Like, their impact off the bench has been outstanding. Him and Twol.
Yep.
I thought Seyfarth, I thought in their first game he was very, very disappointing. He was well below where I thought he'd be at. Obviously scored a try in this game, which was good, but I just thought in general he was much better, Seyfarth.
I like Bolle starting 13.
Oh, yep.
He looked much better, got through a ton of work. He only played 58 minutes, but that's probably the right amount when you consider the work. 17 runs, 152 metres, 67 post-contact, 2 tackle breaks, an offload, 31 tackles, only 1 miss. I think he's probably your best bet for the starting 13 role. Yep. Just give him some time there.
Yeah, yep. I reckon 58, 60 minutes around the mark. 110 kegs, he's a big boy.
That's what I mean. For his role and the work he's getting through.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Like, I don't want him to be an 80-minute. I think that actually suits him. Because I think that if you push him out to a 70, 75-minute player, you'll see the standard drop a little bit in his work because he's such a big boy.
Has he? He hasn't played for the Kiwis yet, has he?
No, I don't think so.
I reckon he'll be one at the end of the season that'll be sniffing around.
The dream as well.
Oh, the great Buller.
How good was he?
Yeah.
Probably a little bit quiet in the first game of the year, but 2 tries, nearly had another one as well. He just kept popping up everywhere. Really followed through and kind of supported Appy really well, but he had a tremendous game on the weekend as well.
So Olam averaged anywhere from 106 to 126 metres in his first 6 seasons at Melbourne.
Big uptick. Yeah, okay.
Big uptick.
Yeah.
Maybe he likes that. Maybe in Storm you've got to be so system orientated that you're not allowed to get through to go in and take those carries. Spoke about it already, but Stefano had one of his better games. I thought he was much, much better this week.
Agree.
We want to see it for 6 weeks from Stefano.
And then a season.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be, you know, that guy that's what he could have been and, you know. Or you don't want to be the guy that's being signed every single year because of what you can achieve or your body shape. You're such a big bopper and all that kind of stuff. You want to start, you know, setting your own mark, really. Mm. And he can do that. He absolutely can do that. What else stood out for you guys in the Tigers?
Mate, I think we've sort of covered it there, to be honest with you. I just thought it was a really good team effort. I thought that, you know, they're heading in the right direction, the Tigers. I just thought their forwards really aimed up in this game. And we'll get to Cronulla, and I understand that, you know, they obviously had an absolute nightmare on their bench with their forward rotation. But I even thought before that, I thought the Tigers just really aimed up.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, you could even hear them, like, in the commentary. You could hear the players on the field going at Cronulla.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about the new look wardrobe choice for the coaching staff? What did you make of that?
Love that.
The grey bags of fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Love that.
Same.
Just mixing it up.
We mean business.
Yeah.
There you go. A little bit of a uniform there for the boys. And Benji, he was very on the front foot in the press conference as well. Looked well rested, having a little bit of a, you know, not doing the 24-hour coaching thing. That's fine. The results speak for themselves. I liked it. I liked what I saw.
Yeah.
Exciting times.
Man. Isn't it funny? Like, so last week, apparently he doesn't coach enough. Now this week, not a peep about his
not
coach.
A thing.
Not a thing.
No. I even read an article that was talking about how the Cronulla Sharks coaching staff looked a bit like underprepared in their tracksuits compared to Benji. Sitting there going, are you fucking for real?
Well, 32-6, mate.
He told me he wasn't taking coaching seriously last week. He puts on a nice suit and...
All of a sudden, he's more prepared than Craig Fitzgibbon, renowned, like, most prepared dude in the history of mankind.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Rugby league, we love it. We love it. Now into the Sharkies. Extremely disappointing because they'd set the standard for themselves this year. Almost like, and look, I get it. The forward rotation, I understand, got all mucked up, but the forward rotation has nothing to do with like Nico having, you know, one of his probably his worst game in a Sharks jersey. Just looked like even Nico, who has been so consistent, even at times being let down by the people outside him or even inside him. This game, yeah, he just did not look all there. Look, he's been so good for so long that you can kind of give him one of these every now and then. But this is the period of footy where I felt the Sharks. So the game was in the balance and the Sharkies just honestly self-imploded. It went. Okay. So the game's in the balance. Error from McInnes. Bad kick from Hines. Trindle throws a forward pass. Hines kicks out on the full again. Trindle gives another penalty for tackling Papali'i off the ball. Then Appy basically goes down and scores that try, and the game was after that, it was just downhill running for the Tigers. And so you can look at the rotation and you can say, oh, this happened, that happened. And it's kind of like what we were alluding to with the Broncos. Like, you can look for reasons for excuses, but that forward rotation has nothing to do with kicking the ball out twice on the full, throwing a forward pass, giving a penalty away. That's just play key players, unfortunately. McInnes, Hines and Trindle just having a poor game.
They were rattled.
Fully rattled.
Yeah.
And
you got to give full credit to the Tigers for that. Because as I said, before all the injuries started to strike, you could feel the Tigers starting to get on top.
Mm. Yeah, so with the Sharkies, it's one of those games where you just go, you know what? You know, the Men in Black.
Yep. Erasing everything.
I reckon Fitzgibbon needs to go around to every single one of them and just go, just forget, boys. Because that was a Barry Crocker for all of us.
Yep.
We all agree that was a Barry Crocker, except for Talakai. He was actually outstanding.
Yep.
Talakai, you don't need to get your memory erased. You were really good. And then we just go into a new week. Because they'd been so good for the first two rounds.
And make sure he's wearing a suit when he does that too.
Don't do it in a track suit. Won't work.
Nah. Won't have the same impact. Won't work. So, something to think about there, Craig.
Maybe Craig saw his wife during the week or something. Wasn't prepared. Wife and kids. Maybe he saw his kids. We don't like that. As rugby league analysis, we don't like coaches that spend time with family. Look, the positive for Sharkies is a game like this is early in the season. Yes, it's really disappointing. Sometimes it's that punch in the in the nose or the face that you need. We just go a bit of a wake up call of like, oh shit, we thought we were going to go to Tigers home ground and just dust them because we've played so well. We got the Warriors done. You know, yes, the Bulldogs aren't the best side, but we ended up blowing them away towards the end of the game. But it's just a quick reminder that it doesn't matter who you play. They can rock up as an NRL team and they can put a score on you.
Yep.
Sure. And so you can use that motivation for the rest of the year and always point back to, guys, this is what happens when we don't turn up. Because, like, let's be honest, the Sharkies didn't turn up. That's not the same Sharkies that turned up to New Zealand.
No bloke for them this week. Yep. Well, maybe they need some.
You know what? They're probably drinking other beers. That's why.
Mm.
If you want to win, boys, it's a beer for blokes to turn up. But don't be drinking it if you don't turn up. I don't want none of that. That's bad juju on me. look, some positives. Talakai was absolutely phenomenal. That bloke did not stop ripping and tearing the whole game. 21 runs, 203 metres, 74 post contact, 8 tackle breaks, a line break assist, and offload 5 tackles. He ripped and teared for his side. Really ripped and teared.
And, you know, when he does have his downfalls, Talakai, I just don't know how people consistently ignore this shit that he does.
Yeah.
Just ran for 200 metres at centre in a game they got beat by 30 in.
And as well as at least he's ripping and tearing.
Yeah. Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it'd be one thing if he started, like, stood out in his centre position and said, look, I'm here to score points. Like, I'm a bulldozer. I'll bump people. I'll create tries. He's going, like, we're losing, but I'm willing to go in there and rip and tear and just get after the game because our forwards are all decimated pretty much.
74 post-contact. He didn't have a line break. He's not getting any easy meters, Talakai.
No, none. Literally none. Positives. Talakai was really good. I thought Cam McInnes started the game really well. Mm. Obviously, then probably fatigued a little bit. Little bit concerning going forward for the Sharkies with the amount of injuries it looks like they might have heading into the Raiders game. But I mean, is there much to talk about in regards to the Sharkies when it's just one of those, like, we're not going to sit here and pretend like, oh, it's disaster. It's not that at all.
Yeah. They haven't had three of these in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just a really bad night at the office. Like, that's just genuinely what it was for them. And their key player just had a really bad night at the office. Unfortunately for the Sharks, they just aren't a top eight side without Hines playing well. Like, it's just reality.
Speak of bad nights at the office, what about Royce the Choice Hunt getting injured warming up on the sideline?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
Like what could go wrong went wrong for the Sharks.
Yeah, for sure. I still think, mate, this halves combination, I think it's going to take a little bit more time. We spoke about it a little bit in the preseason, but Trindle is just such a different footballer to Matty Moylan. I think they're just sort of struggling to find their feet a little bit.
I think that it's more Trindle struggling to find his feet rather than Hines trying to connect with him. Because I've yet to see Trindle have a really good game or even period. Like, I haven't seen him kick on the way I thought he would this year.
Yep.
Only three rounds. But he, for the time it might take for him to build a combination, that's understandable. But you still need to be doing, having some impact on the game, on the things that you do offer, I believe. So I'm with you in regards to it's going to take time to build a combination. But I do want to see a bit more from Trindle going forward. I do think that he has the ability to impact games, to be... I mean, we saw in the Indigenous game, he was outstanding.
Yeah.
If anything, I thought they looked more gelled in the Indigenous All-Star games than they have so far.
Yeah, and I think that was because Trindle was the dominant one. I think that when Trindle isn't the dominant ball player, I think that's almost when he tries to overplay his hand a little bit.
Yeah, okay. So you reckon he's better as a seven?
Kinda, yeah. Okay. But like, obviously, like Nicho Hynes is your seven. He's the guy. But I think when you look back on reflection of like the role that Matty Moylan played, he just sat in that pocket and waited there until he was needed. Trindle's not that sort of a footballer. And yeah, I just think they're sort of stepping on each other's feet a little bit.
But surely Trindle should be aware of that this is Hynes and it's not going to be anyone else's team at all. So
sure, but like, I mean, by the way that it looks like Trindle's playing, like you don't accidentally end up playing both sides of the ruck and out the back. Like I think that Fitzy's trying to change the way they're playing a little bit so they're not so Hynes-centric.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, if I'm Fitzy, I'm all in on the Hynes and I'm basically saying, Trindle, you're whatever Hynes needs, you do.
Does it though? Like the reality of the Cronulla Sharks is that last year they haven't been able to compete with the top sides. Are they a little bit too predictable? Everything going through Hynes when they play those good defensive sides.
Well, the problem is like if you go away from Hynes, your standard is nowhere near what it is when you do play with Hynes. I don't think it's Hynes the reason why they're not winning big games. Like you go back to that game against the Roosters last year, he could not have done any more to give them the win. People were dropping balls as his try assist. He was genuinely doing everything he could, and people were like, they were bombing opportunities. I put it this way. Okay, wake up tomorrow, Hynes is injured and Trindle's a seven. Do you think they make the eight?
No, probably not. No. And I'm not arguing that in any way, shape, or form. I just think that Craig Fitzgibbon has probably taken it on board that they are a little bit too Hynes centric, and they need to have some different options come these big games.
I just...
Because, like, you talk to players from other teams and they know when you play the Sharks, if you can contain Nicho, you're sweet.
I think they're, like, in a similar position as the Knights are to a degree. Mm. Like, KP is their man. You just go all in. And, like, that when the Knights went all in on KP, they went on that run. And I think with the Sharkies, I personally just go all in on Nicho and I say, Trindle, for the first couple of years of your career, it'll be basically whatever Hynes needs you do. And then once you earn the right, whether it's in the first 12 months or whether it's in the second 12 months, once you earn the right to, once you've had enough runs under the board with Hynes that you can show you can complement him by doing what you want to do, that's when I would introduce that. I think it's really hard to introduce that off the bat when it's essentially their first year together as halves pairings by going, Trindle, we want you to do what you want to do. Hynes, we want you to do it. I think it's a real hard mix to get.
Yeah, but I think like unless Braden Trindle is just blatantly ignoring what his coach is saying, I think it looks like Craig Fitzgibbon's going down that avenue. That's what I see anyway.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's early days and, you know, there's a lot more to happen and they'll improve, but that's just the way that I'm eyeballing it at the moment.
Yeah. If I'm being honest, I just don't think Trindle has been at his best this year so far. And I think that's what's affecting him rather than being told certain game plans. I just think he's not in good... He's in okay form, but not in good form right now. I've put it this way. I've seen Trindle play way better games when he's come in with an injured Matty Moylan than I have seen him play this year. But we'll see. Time will tell. Super early in the year. Super early in the year.
And that's when Trindle came in with Matty Moylan didn't change his role. It became Trindle's team then. Moylan still sat in his pocket, sat in that corridor. And
I mean, I've seen Trindle play better when Moylan's been injured. And so the idea that like Trindle would play better if it's his team, it's like that's off the table. Like it's non-negotiable because it's not going to happen. It's Hynes' team.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even entertain.
Yeah. No, I'm not. So maybe I've misworded this. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form it should be Trindle's team. But if you look last year, it was probably 80% Hynes' team, 20% Moylan. And I think that Fitzy's trying to shift to a little bit more of an even split, and that's where I think they're having a bit of trouble.
Mm. Yeah, if that is what Fitzy's doing, I would not just go all in on Hines. I just think that's at the moment Trindle isn't at his in his career yet, long enough in first grade and hit the form yet to warrant dulling your best attacking weapon to bring him forward. But I don't know. I see it more as I think Trindle is just isn't playing as good a footy as we know he can play yet. Who knows though? He's not playing so bad that he can't warm into this combination, but at the moment I just haven't seen, for example, on the weekend he had, so he's as a six, he had three runs.
Mm.
If Fitzy's saying to him, we want you to have more responsibility, you've got to have more than three runs. You want to be up around the 10. Even Cody Walker on the weekend, had a quiet game. I think he still had nine runs.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah.
It's an interesting watch, though.
It's the key watch.
Yeah.
It's the key watch. How would they go when Moylan and Hines were such a good combination, just worked so well together? Only problem was Moylan's obviously defense.
Yeah.
How would they go with Trindle in there? So hopefully they can work that out. But outside of that, as I said, delete, go on to next week. I would even consider not doing friggin' video session on it and just going, boys, move forward. That's not who we are. We don't even want to pretend like it is. Anything else?
Oh, just very quickly, good to see the Tigers belt out their new song as well at the end of the game there, wasn't it?
I hated that. Look, as in not the new song. I get it. It's news. It's funny. But I was kind of let the Tigers have their win, guys. Shit. Yeah. Everyone putting shit on them for bloody...
They're going to get a lot more used to that song, don't worry.
Yeah, and apparently didn't Benji create a new song that's combined the two or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I was everyone was putting shit on them. I'm like, come on, guys, just let them have that. A big win. Let them enjoy it.
Good to see that photo, though. Boys literally singing off the same hymn sheet this season, which is nice.
Right?
Which is nice to see.
They're on the same page, that's for sure.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.